As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Days where you can only meet someone through family, a pre-planned arrangement, or friends, dating apps have pretty much changed the way that we date, and they've introduced this opportunity where we're able to meet people that we never would have met in real life. According to Pew Research Center, 3 in 10 Americans say that they've used an online dating app, and girl, you already know I'm one of them 3, okay? But over 323 million users are in dating apps worldwide, with Badoo, Tinder, and Match.com taking the top 3 spots for app users, respectively, according to Business of Apps. And according to Statista, in the United States, Tinder, Bumble, and Plenty of Fish take the top 3 spots, respectively. With so many users on the apps, they've pretty much introduced the idea of matching with and exploring romantic interests that don't look like what we've expected them to. In many ways, dating apps have created spaces for more open-mindedness when it comes to dating, but we're also going to talk about how they've also created spaces for quite the opposite. What used to be a very in-person, interactive process has been one that is now largely facilitated online until it's time to meet the person in person and see if y'all click, see if the chemistry is there, see if the attraction is actually there in person. It's wild because dating apps have made the process of connecting with other human beings one that can often feel a little bit cold, a little bit disconnected, simply because of the nature of the beast involved, which is technology. It's a phenomenon that we've seen play out with social media, where even though someone could have like a ton of different followers and a ton of different connections online, they can also feel really lonely and quite disconnected from everyone. So it brings up this concern of the longer lasting effect of technology in these processes, where the purpose is connection and the purpose is human tenderness. I feel like I'm just questioning how technology affects this and how we're going to see relationships change over time, or how we're going to see relationships that are formed in the era of dating apps evolve over time. Like many, if not all, the apps at this point that we use on our phones, dating apps have very specific algorithms that are designed to match us up with others. These algorithms use a mix of source data, including the data that you provide, such as your age, your race, your height, and other pieces of data that are provided once you link your social media profiles to the app. And some of them be letting you link your Spotify too, so baby, people be getting like a better understanding of who you are as a person, not just like how you physically look, but kind of a little bit of how you think and, you know, how you might be as a person based on things like the music that you listen to. These apps take into account your preferences based on who you're liking and who you're swiping right, along with the overall majority of how other people prefer and perceive you. Tinder, for example, once used what is known as an Elo rating, where you're ranked based on how many people have swiped right on you, but the weight of each like is based on how many times that person has been swiped right. So basically, if a more liked, or in this case, we're assuming more generally socially attractive person, swiped right on you, this counts more than someone who isn't as liked or isn't as seemingly socially attractive or socially accepted. According to a press release from Tinder, they're using a much more cutting edge technology to match users, but that they've yet to disclose. And a lot of these apps, like if you look them up, they'll give you like a taste of like how their algorithms are set up and a taste of what they're using to match users. But obviously it's like a secret sauce. You're not going to sit here and give you tea on every single thing that they're doing on the back end, because that is basically like their trademark. You know what I'm saying? So while these algorithms are designed to create a space where you're shown more people that you're likely to prefer, it can also create the perfect ecosystem for discrimination based on physical traits. According to a Cornell University study and a subsequent paper titled "Debiasing Desire, Addressing Bias and Discrimination on Intimate Platforms," user profiles laced with phrases like "no blacks, sorry," "no Indians, no Asians, no Africans," or "only here to talk to white boys" have given rise to critical research about what many may consider to be sexual racism. The paper goes on to say, while discrimination certainly occurred and continues to occur in offline spaces, intimate platforms provide easy-to-use features that allow users to act on such preferences. As platforms have become centralized marketplaces for finding intimate partners, even small design decisions that impact matching behavior can have significant effects in the aggregate. Essentially, what they're saying is dating app features that are designed to help you find your perfect match, whatever you might think that is, are also the same features that create opportunities for discrimination against certain groups, especially and mainly already marginalized populations. The paper goes on to say, for minority racial groups, pervasive forms of rejection, discrimination, and marginalization, whether on or offline, can cultivate deep feelings of personal shame and lead subjects of discrimination to view themselves as less attractive and less desirable. So I have to pause here because I was reading these papers and obviously, like, I personally have my own experiences with these things, like with discrimination on these apps. But in many ways, like, part of me was like, maybe I'm just imagining it. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But reading the research and seeing that there's actual proof that people of color and other groups are discriminated against on these platforms, like, it was in many ways kind of bittersweet because it was like, okay, I know I'm not crazy. But it was also like, this really sucks because how are we supposed to have a fair chance at finding love on these platforms when essentially there are systems that are at play that are helping to discriminate against us on these platforms. As a Black woman on these platforms, I can't tell you the number of times I've questioned my physical appearance, my general attraction, simply because I don't see as many likes on a platform like Hinge. I've had to remind myself that it's not me. It could literally just be like the location, the filters that I have on, or simply that the men in my area aren't necessarily attracted to a more liberal thinking, spiritual woman, especially when y'all know the political affiliation in Texas tends to sway basically the complete opposite way. According to an NPR article on how racial discrimination plays out in dating apps, in 2014, user data on OkCupid showed that most men on the site rated Black women as less attractive than women of other races and ethnicities. And while 2014 might seem like it's an eternity ago, given the fact that we're in 2022 currently, this behavior and discrimination is still incredibly apparent and still persisting to this day. One of the things that makes the entire dating app industry really interesting is that we have to consider and remember that this is a business industry after all, and a really lucrative one at that. Bumble, which is one of the most well-known dating apps founded by Whitney Wolf in early 2021, was named an $8 billion company, y'all. $8 billion. Okay. And Match.com, which is the parent company of many of the apps that we know, such as Bumble, Hinge, OkCupid, I believe Tinder as well, was valued at $45 billion, with Match.com bringing in $2.4 billion in revenue in 2022 alone. When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods.
Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop. Literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
And while most of these apps are free to use, they fall into this category, which is known as like freemium subscriptions, which basically means that you can get access to the basic features for free, but to really experience the majority of the app's robust features, you need to pay. Many of these apps hide really great features behind a paywall. For example, on Bumble and Tinder, if you swipe left on someone by accident, if you want to go back to see who you missed out on, you need to have access to a premium plan. You can't just go back and like see that person. Or on Bumble, if you want to see the people that have already liked you, guess what? You need to pay for premium too. And I've talked about this before where I've said like, I typically will pay for premium. Like I'm that person where I'll fork over some cash because for me, it just helps to save time and it helps to essentially like make me feel as if I'm being even more intentional about my dating process. These apps are essentially capitalizing on one of our most vulnerable desires as human beings, the desire to couple up. I've literally been a paying user on Tinder, Hinge, Bumble, and even OkCupid, usually not at the same time, you guys, but I know that can sound a little bit excessive, but as someone who is intentionally dating, like I said, I understand the importance of paying to see better potential matches or to just save time on the apps. Yet this begs the bigger question of if the apps are businesses at the end of the day and we are the consumers, like single people are the consumers, then why in the world would it be in their best interest to have us actually find love and have us actually find our match? And having a single person find love and delete the app and cancel their subscription, especially like I said, if they are a long time paying member, means less money for the app overall. One could argue that better results of finding love, and like if people are finding love on these apps and they're saying, oh my god, like I found my boyfriend on Hinge or I found my fiance on Bumble, then maybe the apps could bring in new customers, especially like if people are thinking that's the more successful app, they could bring in new customers at a better rate if they're seen as more successful of an option as an app option. But the question still remains if the apps are truly looking for us to find love and delete it at the end of the day, or are they just trying to look out for their bottom line? Okay. And are they trying to just keep us in this endless paying loop? I think another really interesting thing about dating apps is that they have this ability to make you feel like you have endless options, yet no options all at once. Because I know y'all have heard me complain so many times about the streets, like they are not giving what they need to have gave. And it's wild because you can be on a dating app and you can be swiping, 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 and literally it just feels like, again, there are endless options, yet because the streets feel like they truly are not giving what they are supposed to have gave at all, it also at the end day feels kind of hopeless sometimes, and it kind of makes you, or at least makes me, feel as if, am I ever gonna find somebody? Is there really somebody out there for me? Because truly, it's just not it. According to a psychological phenomenon known as the paradox of choice, the more options we have, the less decisions we tend to make. Having too many options can often lead to what's known as choice paralysis. Basically, when you're afraid to choose for fear of choosing the wrong thing, or of degradation and satisfaction, where after you have actually chosen and made your decision, you feel like, damn, I could have really chose better. In the modern dating world, there's no longer a feeling of scarcity as it once was before. With the world at your literal fingertips, it can become easy to feel like if you just keep swiping, you can find a better match. You can find someone taller, someone more handsome, someone more educated, someone who is perfect. While dating apps have been designed to give us a better chance at finding our person and connecting, they have seemed to make it harder by forcing us to essentially chase the impossible. According to a 2019 study and paper titled "A Rejection Mindset: Choice Overload in Online Dating," people have become increasingly likely to reject potential partners to the extent that they are presented with more options. And the study also goes on to say that the initial benefit women have in their likelihood of having a match dissolved in the process of online dating. Basically, the longer women are in dating apps, the less likely they are to find a suitable match as a choice paradox is fulfilled. Essentially, you're going to be swiping to find that better match. And I feel like in some ways I have encountered this choice paradox, but I've also encountered some additional research that has talked about how instead of trying to find like that perfect person or the one who has like no flaws, because that literally does not exist, like none of us are perfect, it's really about finding the person that you are most compatible with, that you can grow with, that essentially can like give you all of your necessary needs and is open to growing with you and learning with you and like helping to be more adaptable and compatible over time, right? I feel like when I first started online dating, I was definitely more in the mindset of trying to find that perfect person and being like, oh my God, he's not tall enough, he's not this, he's not that, he's not whatever. And I've had to come to that place where I've been very honest with myself and been like, okay, but I'm not perfect. So how can I be sitting here looking for this very impossible to find individual, like this literal needle in a haystack, when they are just simply not going to exist? And I know anything is possible, right? I sit in that statement and I love that statement. And I'm there for that statement and that fact. However, what I think is really important when it comes to finding love is finding a partner that you truly are compatible with. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Love is not enough in a relationship. You can love someone to death, but if they are not compatible with you, if you guys are not matching up in the things that are very important in life, especially when it comes to the prediction of long-term compatibility and like long-term success of a relationship, love is not going to be enough to keep you all together. It's going to turn into something that's very, very toxic. And I've had that experience before. And I don't necessarily think that we should be chasing this idea of like perfect, you know, attraction and love and whatever. Like, we should really be looking for that long-term compatibility. And it's really interesting, again, this whole idea of the choice paradox and what happens as you are swiping over time. Do you start to feel, like I said, really hopeless about the whole situation and feel like, oh my God, I'm seeing so many people, but I'm not seeing that person for me? Or do you start to become more open-minded and think, okay, there are so many people, there has to be someone for me? It really is like a mindset choice, I think, at the end of the day, with like how you see the presentation of essentially endless partners. But like I said, and like the research shows, that choice paradox comes into play where, again, the more you see, the more people that you see, the more subconsciously you start to think, if you swipe one more time, you might find someone better. And is that true? Could be, but also it could also lead you down this spiral road where you are swiping for months, days, years on end, not necessarily willing to, you know, meet that person who could actually be a really good match for you because you feel as if it's settling when maybe it really isn't. Asking what the future of dating apps is a really interesting question, because I think that they are becoming like more integrated into our lives and more integrated into society, and they're becoming like way more accepted and acceptable to use as a means for finding a partner. Many people are still hesitant to like go to group activities, to go to bars, to go to the places where you would traditionally meet a partner, or it would be like traditionally possible to meet a partner. So dating apps are a really suitable option for those who are looking for love and who've yet to find it. Yet with everything that we've explored today, I don't necessarily think it's silly to be cynical about dating apps and to be cynical about their success rates. According to Pew Research Center, 3 in 10 Americans have used a dating app, but out of those like 3 in 10 Americans, only 12% have been in a committed relationship or married someone from an app. And putting the numbers into perspective, I know we're talking about like millions of people, but but like when there are billions of people on the planet, it can seem like a really small percent and a really small success rate. Yet at the end of the day, there is a success rate, right? It's not zero. It's not negative. Obviously, it can't be negative, but it's not zero. It's like a positive number. So there is still a possibility of finding a match and finding someone online, which makes the apps worthwhile to try, I think, especially if you haven't tried them at all. They do offer some sort of sliver of hope for those people like myself who maybe don't go out as often, who don't really go to bars, who may not have like friends who can introduce them to mutual friends that are also single and essentially don't have as many traditional options to meet someone as some other people in their peer groups. Using the apps or not, discernment is definitely key. I don't think the apps are going anywhere. I think they're only going to continue to get more quote unquote smarter. The algorithms are going to change and adapt, as we've seen. Tinder started off with like the Elo score. Now they have some other new adaptation or new algorithm that they have not disclosed. But these apps are really trying to find a way to scientifically create like a equation that's successful for love. And I think that's really interesting. I think it gets into this question of like, can we actually create an equation that predicts compatibility, predicts relationship success long term? Again, we've seen so many of these apps and websites doing that, like Match.com, I think, is like one of the most famous ones, like the questions that they ask, or they, you know, matching people up based on certain interests and certain like educational values. And, you know, do you want kids and all of these different things, which I think are really good predictors and markers of compatibility. But one thing that I don't think computers can ever really capture and algorithms can ever really predict are these nuances of compatibility, these nuances of like relationships and intimacy that we as humans have such like, I know, like we have such a way of like feeling and understanding that you cannot put into words. Like, think about it. Have you ever gone on a date with someone who like on paper, they would have been not the person for you, and you meet them in person and you guys actually find that you have a lot of the really core values in common, and there's this attraction, there's this spark, there's something there that makes you feel like, wow, like I'm so glad I gave this person a chance. And on the other side, you know, maybe you saw someone who was like everything on paper. Like, I know I've gone on so many dates here with guys who like on paper they should be a perfect match for me, but when we go in person, when we meet up, it's like it's not giving. Like, there's something there that doesn't feel right, that doesn't click. And I don't think, again, computers can predict that, right? That is not something that we can essentially at this point, you know, or at this time in society and in science and everything, I don't necessarily think we can quantify and qualify with like scientific terms. It just is what it is. It's a feeling, it's a knowing, it's that intuition.
When I decided to audit my wellness routine and implement changes, one of the first things I looked at was my supplements. I wanted to simplify my daily supplements, so I decided to try AG1. And let me just say, this was one of the best decisions that I made in 2023. Not only did I replace my multivitamin with AG1, but I also love that every single scoop includes folate, magnesium, and ashwagandha for stress support. Since drinking AG1 daily, I've noticed that I feel more energized and my mental clarity and my ability to manage and recover from stress have improved. I used to rely on a ton of different supplements. If y'all remember my little pill box, then you know, okay? And I use these supplements to help me feel calm and more alert, but I just love how simplified my morning routine has become with AG1. Adding AG1 in the morning covers my bases with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, and ingredients like pre- and probiotics, adaptogens, antioxidants, and nutrients sourced from whole foods. Let me just tell y'all what my favorite part of this entire thing is. You only need to take one scoop, literally one scoop a day, every single day, mixed with water. That is it. It's giving very much work smarter, not harder, even with what you put in your body. AG1 is the supplement that I trust and have trusted since 2023 to provide the support that my body needs daily. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. That's drinkag1.com/manifestdaily. Check it out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
So I'm really curious to see where dating apps end up, where they continue, what happens next, like what's the next app, what's the next algorithm. And also in my journey personally, I'm curious to see, will I find my person online? Is my person someone that I bump into randomly on the street? Like I said, I don't really have, you know, friends who have single friends to introduce me to. So me thinking I'm going to meet someone through a friend, I don't really see that as like a high possibility, but I'm not going to discount it because you never really know. But for me, the app so far have been really great in terms of like allowing me to meet new people, allowing me to expand my horizon with who I'm dating. I have, since I've moved here and since I've been very like open-minded when it comes to dating, I've met so many different men who wouldn't have been my traditional type, right? But they have been the type of men who they're a great match in terms of spiritual beliefs, in terms of values, in terms of their work ethic, their ambition, their intelligence, all of these things that I truly value. I've met so many of those men here because of the fact that I've been very open-minded. And obviously I'm still single, and that's not necessarily to say because I have like such high impossible standards. I will say I've met a couple of guys that I would have been willing to date, like not even willing to, that I actually wanted to date, but things didn't work out because of something on their end. Maybe they were still healing from a relationship, or there was one in particular where I really liked this guy and he really liked me, but we just, our religion didn't match up. Like, I'm very spiritual and very open, but he was very like, you know, very religious. And that's something that I'm also learning being in the South and being like, I think it's like on the Bible Belt or below the Bible Belt, is that a lot of men here have a very traditional Christian view and traditional Christian beliefs, which again, I am here for if that's what you believe. I'm not going to knock anyone's beliefs, but they want a wife who also has the same, who wants to go to church, who wants to partake in a lot of these like religious ceremonies that I don't necessarily do because that's just not me. And you know, that does make it a little harder to date here because of my, I guess, like religious background and also my political affiliation as well. Obviously, it's very conservative in Texas and I don't hold a lot of the beliefs of the political parties here in Texas that are like the main ones. And that makes it a little harder too. But I'm really curious to see how this evolves. And maybe one day we'll do an episode with whoever my man's is. But girl, one thing, I feel like I just don't want to bring a man on this podcast again unless we are like engaged or married or something like that. So yeah, but I really hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I know it was definitely a little bit more scripted. Hopefully didn't sound too scripted, but I had to like give y'all tea on the research. And one thing is I can't memorize these numbers, so I had to read them off the paper. Okay, I had to read them off the paper. But everything will be linked below in terms of the sources, in terms of the material used for this episode. Really hope you guys enjoyed it. Let me know your thoughts. Where do you think dating apps are going? Do you think that there will ever be a day that they can like really, like, I don't know, maybe it's like 99.9% accuracy, predict the success and longevity of a romantic relationship and partnership? And if so, how far off are we from that, right? Like, we're at the point now where they're talking about flying cars. And if you think about it, an airplane is, you know, a flying car, basically. So it's like we have, and I was on a flight, you know, yesterday, and I was like, wow, it's like, wow, that we literally have this like massive multi-ton object in the sky carrying all of these people, all of this luggage, and we're not falling down. Like, that is so wild, right? So it's like, if we can do that, shouldn't we and can't we get to a point where we can find everyone their quote unquote perfect match? I should think so, right? I should think so. But let me know what you think. Come find me on Instagram and we can chat there.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.